Thank you for your support of Think Missions. Definitely, thank you. You know, as Pastor Russ was sharing, my story does actually begin with me growing up in a Hindu home. But to be honest with you, I spent a lot of my life as an atheist, and I was a very vocal atheist. I was so angry about God and that God didn't exist. I was so sure about it. I would tell Christians all the time about how God didn't exist. It was sometimes too good at what I was doing. But you know what? Jesus Christ was never intimidated by my beliefs, by my loud mouth at all. In fact, when he came into my life in a powerful way in the summer of 1999, the way he did it was during my first year of medical school. And I was there, and I was in an anatomy class. And in anatomy, you learn about what goes on inside the body from a dead body itself. And as I was opening it up and looking at things as an atheist, I thought, wait a minute. There's way too much here. It's so complicated. There's too much beauty within this creation. Somebody has created this body, which means somebody has created me. And I began to, at that time, read the Bible for the first time. And I learned about who Jesus was. And I learned about his love for me. And I learned about his creation and how he's in the business of creating over and over and over again. He creates new life, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, the old has gone and the new has come. And I gave my life to Jesus 17 years ago, and I've never looked back. Never wanted to go back to that life again. Why would I ever want to leave the joy that has been put in my heart? There's such a story there that one day, if Pastor Russ ever needs a Sunday off or wants someone to come in, I'll come and share with you that story, because it's a beautiful story that God has given me that I love to share with people. In fact, so much so that several years ago, God had called me into launching my own ministry called Prodigal Love Ministry. And it's a very simple thing. I go into churches and prisons and drug rehabs and men's groups and missions trips all across the world to tell people about what God has done, the miracle that he has caused and created in my life. Because God knows how to meet each and every individual. He knows how to meet and how he has met everybody in here. And he knew for me, I needed to meet God with a dead body next to me. He knew I needed to know what creation looked like. What his power was. I needed to see it with my own eyes. And those of you who know Jesus, remember how he met you, how he searched after you. Maybe it wasn't an anatomy class, I bet it wasn't, but it was some way personal, individualized to you that God knew you needed to be reached. The same way he knows that the Cuban people, the Bolivian people, all the people all across the world need to be met. You know that Christianity is the only religion that I have ever heard of where God stoops down to tell us that we're worthy. Isn't that odd? I mean, here we are singing songs that God is worthy, and he is so worthy. But at the same time, God is seeking and searching after us. What a God we have that humbles himself to the cross so that we could be followers of him, so that we could have eternity with him. I get chills even thinking about God, when I think about how much he loves us, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're like the greatest reality show you could imagine, because it's not a show. It's just reality. And simultaneously, all across the globe, God is meeting people this morning and this week and this year and this generation. And he calls us to participate in that as believers, as followers of Christ, that we are his hands and his feet. That when you reach out to the children and do the backpack thing, and when you are part of the haircuts and all these other things I'm hearing about this morning, you are his hands and his feet reaching out to the world that God has put before you. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke 15. We're gonna spend a short period of time looking at a parable from Luke 15. Luke 15 is by far my favorite chapter when I think of the Bible, because it shows the depths of God's love for us. And if I had 3 hours, but Pastor Russ says I only have 2 hours, I would go through each and every, and there was a couple of laughs, but people are scared. I won't be here for 2 hours, I promise. But each and every one of those stories shows how much he loves us. And we're going to look at the story of the lost coin today. It says in 2 Peter 2:9, you don't have to turn there, it says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And I'm sorry if there's any Calvinists, anybody out there, but I'm telling you, God loves every single soul. Every single soul. And God's love is amazing, and his plans are completely unfathomable to our pea-sized brains. I mean, really, how God works is amazing. And let me show you this in Luke 15, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Praise God. You know, most of us have heard this parable before. I mean, I've heard this parable so many times, but it still gets me when we get to that point where it says, rejoice. Rejoice that God would rejoice over this sinner who has repented. And perhaps you've thought about this parable before and thought about how this poor woman and this one coin, you know, it meant a lot because she only had 10 coins. So when she lost one, it was a big deal, because really the word coin is drachma, and drachma was about one day's wages for a woman of this nature, one day's wages for a laborer. And this, if this was her only money, then she just lost 10% of everything she had, and that would surely be difficult. It would be tough. And that, you know, there's probably some truth in there, but I'm going to show you today that there's some questions that should arise, and if we're thinking that's the only thing that this parable is intended to teach us. Because why did he make this story about a woman? You know, why didn't he say this is a man or a child? Why did he say it was a woman? And why did she only lose one single drachma? I mean, it would be so much more powerful if it was something like, oh, there was this rich man and he had millions of drachmas and he lost 999,000 of them. You know, you'd think, whoa, that's a big loss. You know, why did he make it a single drachma? And why did he start with only 10 coins? You know, why didn't she just lose all of her coins? Or you know, that would be so much more powerful. Or why make her so frantic looking for this one coin? And then she has to tell everybody to rejoice with her. After, I mean, she's got 90% of her coins still there. Why is she overturning her house to find this one? You know, the story can seem a little strange without understanding it from the cultural context of when Jesus was telling it. Because the cultural context is so key. They would have understood the immeasurable value of that one coin. And the reason is this. In that time, when you were married or getting married to somebody, the man would give the woman a 10-coin necklace. And depending on how rich the man was, it would maybe drachmas, or it may be something more, a more valuable coin. But somebody gave this woman a 10-coin necklace. It was a symbol of the union between the man and the wife. It's kind of like a wedding ring where, you know, really the actual market value of the ring doesn't matter. I can tell you from experience, you know, every once in a while I do try to do manly things, and I was in the garage, this is probably about 4 or 5 years ago now, and I'm probably on the other line with Pat Summers, you know, hey, you know, I'm trying to fix something in here and I don't know what I'm doing, and he's walking me through it and it's dirty. Whatever I was doing was dirty, so I took my wedding ring off and I put it on the back of the car to be safe, you know, because I didn't want it to get dirty. And then I was like, oh, nuts, I got to go to Lowe's and pick up whatever it was. And I drove. And when I got back, finished the job, I'm sure I messed up some other stuff, whatever, but I finished what I thought I needed to finish, and I went to put my ring back on. It wasn't there anymore. So I did what every good-thinking man would do. I plugged in eBay.com, and I tried to find the replica that I could order with fast and free shipping before my wife would find out. I'm just kidding. I did tell her. I told her. I had to. I had that guilt, you know, in my heart. I got to tell her I lost the ring. She was not happy, right? But I did actually go to eBay, $50 right here. And you might say, $50? Come on. But can I tell you the value of this ring, although it was a lot less than the original ring, the monetary value of this ring means nothing. The stains that it leaves on my finger, it means nothing, right? No, I'm just kidding. What really is important is the fact that this symbolizes the union between my wife and I. And we've been married 14 years come September. And for us, you know, the ring was just a symbol. It was just a symbol. And Jesus' audience, understanding the 10 drachma necklace, would have understood this context and this symbolism. And they would have understood the woman's reaction and the reason for her frantic search, because the coin is part of her wedding necklace. It means so much more than just one drachma to her, because without that coin, that necklace doesn't have the same meaning anymore. And the Bible tells us that we are the bride of Christ. In fact, Jesus calls himself the bridegroom, and we are betrothed or engaged to him. And that 10-coin necklace is a symbol of that engagement. And while we're waiting for Christ to return, and we know that he's coming back and there's going to be a wedding feast, but in this parable, the woman represents God, and that 10-coin necklace is now incomplete because one coin is missing. And God has really, if you think about it, like a 10 trillion necklace, probably coin necklace, because every single person is a coin in that necklace. And this parable introduces us to what God's value system looks like. Because not surprisingly, God's value system is very different than the world's value system. Because in God's value system, that single coin has infinite worth. Because how often does the world really think about those poor people of eastern Cuba? Or how often does the world think about the unchurched people of Bolivia? Or one of those Bolivian children who've never experienced God's love? When does the world really think about them? They don't, because they're worthless or of low worth in the world's eyes. But they are each, every one of them, a part of God's necklace, just as valuable as any other coin in that necklace. Think about how the world's economy works when it comes to worth, right? You remember O.J. Simpson? Some of you remember O.J. Simpson as the football player, right? And O.J. was great, and he was breaking records, and he was at the top of that worth. If O.J. Simpson would have walked in, you know, to a church at the height of his thing, everyone would be like, hey, O.J. Simpson's here. It would have been a big deal. And now O.J.'s kind of a laughingstock, right? When we think about how quickly he dropped. You think about Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, right? He was at the height. He was 18 or something. He joins the NBA. He's doing great. And then he cheats on his wife. And his popularity dropped significantly. People booed him in the stadiums when he would go there. And then he just retired last year, and everyone's cheering him again. Like, the world's economy, it just kind of fluctuates when it comes to what people are worth. But in God's eyes, all people continue to have the same infinite, unsurpassable worth, worth dying for on a cross, no matter what goes on. Because these parables are all being told to the Pharisees, right? The Pharisees were there in the beginning, right before Jesus starts telling these parables. They're asking him, why are you hanging out with all these lowly people? And Jesus told these parables to show exactly what God thinks about what the world calls lowly, because Jesus doesn't see people as lowly in his eyes. If you were one of 7 billion people here on earth today, which you are, if you were the only one and there weren't anybody else, God's love is still infinitely great for you. You know, I think about somehow how God works. Sometimes how God works. Every year I go to Mexico on a medical trip, not with Think Missions, but separately. And during this medical trip, in order to speak to the people, I need a translator. And the translators are actually people who were jailed, convicts, and they come and they translate for us as part of their community service, their rehab kind of thing. And as they're translating for us, while we're doing our medical things, I always at the end tell people of Christ's love. And I say, you know what, I can give you this medicine for today, but Christ's love will take you forever. And God loves you, and there's nothing you could do to make God love you more or less. You are loved by God. And as I say these things in English, the translators repeat it. And here I am thinking, oh, here's how God's going to use me. I reach all these people who come in, 4,000 or 5,000 people come in for medical treatments. I'm going to reach my share by doing that. And God shows me every single year, at least one, if not more, of those translators come to know the Lord. Because all they're doing is translating the gospel message. There's power. There's power in God's word. And when God wants to meet somebody, he is going to meet somebody right where they're at, because we are all that missing drachma coin. Because the world might tell you, you're not worth anything. You're never going to accomplish anything. After all, look at what you've done, or look at what you're still doing, and you call yourself a Christian, and all those things that you're doing behind those closed doors. How can God ever use you? You're going to hear those things. Those are the words of the enemy right in your ear. But it's the exact opposite of what God sees, because this morning God woke you up out of your breath, out of your bed, and gave you your first breath of the morning. And he has work for you to do today. He has work for you to do, kingdom work for you to do today. And when you wake up in the morning, the first thing in your mind should not be, where's my phone, but, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for me in Sharpsburg, Pennsylvania today? God, what do you have for me at Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh today? God, who do you have for me to meet today that needs to know your love, that they are worth everything? And he's asking you, will you continue to join him in that search? And perhaps joining him means that you're supposed to go on a missions trip to another country. Or perhaps it's you need to go to the missions trip to that person in the cubicle right next door to you, to where you work. Or perhaps it's to go back to that forgotten or estranged family member that people have kind of said, they're not worth it anymore. They've given us too much trouble. Or maybe it's that person at the grocery store, that teenager, that elderly person who's giving out the grocery cart. Somebody you know that the world has forgotten, and you can tell that they need God's love. Just the other week, I was talking with the driver of an Uber car. You know, I was on a conference, and I took an Uber to the airport. And this guy was telling me that, you know, when he doesn't drive Uber on the weekend, he works in a mortician's office in a funeral home. And I said, boy, that must really make you think about God, doesn't it? And we had a conversation for the next 20 minutes about God. You know, God always puts somebody in your path. It's up to us to take that next step. And one of the things that God put on our heart right from the beginning when it comes to Think Missions, right from the start when Pastor Pat started Think Missions, was that we were going to pray and we were going to join with Think Missions through our personal finances. And I know many of you have been faithful in your giving as well. And what an impact you've had for the kingdom of God. Because I wasn't sure how I wanted to close this today, but when Pastor Russ prayed earlier, it just confirmed what's right in my notes. Why don't we close our eyes and why don't we bow our heads? And in this moment, I want us to just forget all of these world problems, all the things that we came in here with. I want us to just focus on the fact that one day we will all breathe our last here on earth. We will visit some funeral home somewhere, and we won't be there anymore because we are going to be in our eternal home. And if we're followers of Christ, we are going to be right before the throne of God. And we're going to hear those creatures, just hear them saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." Just hear those sounds. You'll join with them. I'm going to. I know I won't be able to hold back. "Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And as we're saying that, I know the words that I long to hear. I know that God will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Those are the words I long to hear from my Father. My Heavenly Father will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," while I praise out to him, "Holy, holy, holy." And then when I look around in the heavenlies, I'll see thousands of people that I knew in this life, people I went to church with, people I interacted with that I knew. Oh, but what will be so amazing will be thousands more that I never met. I never met on this earth. But they will come and they will say, "Thank you for your faithfulness." They'll say that to you. "Thank you for your faithfulness, for your giving, because through you I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was set free by Jesus Christ because of your faithfulness." God will use you in whatever way. And remember that is our eternal goal. Our goal is not what house and car and phone and all the other things of this world, but our goal is to one day hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, and thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness." God, we praise you this day, Lord. God, we stand before you today as sinners saved by your grace, Lord, that nothing that we do can be done without you, Lord, that we are lost without you, God. That we must abide in you, Lord, that we must remain connected to you, Lord, to that vine, to the source of life. God, that we must drink of the water, Lord, so that we may never thirst again, that we must eat of your flesh, Lord God, that we may never hunger. God, we pray that we would overflow with your love, that the Spirit would be within us and through us and out of our mouth, Lord, would come words that would save, the lost by pointing them to your Spirit, who points them to your Son and and to the Father, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love for us, that you search for us, God, that you overturn everything to find us, God. Jesus, we ask that you would continue to use us. We pray that you would bless the Think Missions and all that is done through it. We pray that Pastor Pat would feel a healing in his body even this moment, Lord, that he might go on and continue the work that he has begun, God, by following your leadership. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kishore, so much for sharing the word. Very powerful stuff. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to see. It always just amazes me, blows my mind when I see what God does through a local church like ours, through the giving that we participate in, and to see what God's doing in Bolivia, to see what God's doing in Cuba through the giving of our church, but also many other churches. Thanks so much for sharing that. And, we're going to receive our offering.